Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I only have 10 minutes. I'll try to set a good example and stay within that time and try to stay on message. And the message that I want to give is that when it comes to air traffic management, we've done so much work. The standards, the procedures, the guidance material, the planning mechanisms are in place. And we have made good progress in the last 10 years, but if there are still problems, it has more to do with political will and motivation, lack of resources in some states. So we know what we have to do. Everything's available to do it. The technology's there. But we still face challenges. And I want to talk a little bit about something we trademarked about 15 years ago, a more global and seamless air traffic management system, air navigation system. You hear CANSO referring to this all the time. You hear IATA referring to it. Europe, the Americans, everybody wants a more seamless air traffic system. We have concept, a global concept we're all working around, a global air navigation plan. We have a regional planning mechanisms. And then I'll just spend 2 minutes on some of the most promising technologies. So to the extent that there are problems, we have a lot of seams in the system between many countries, and that causes the controllers have to increase the separation because the air traffic systems are not talking to each other or the communication is not adequate. You have military airspaces, rigid structures with some states that don't allow more flexible routing. We're not utilizing the capabilities of aircraft to the extent that we could or should be, and as everyone knows, we have such long lead times for systems implementation in air traffic management. A lot of that has to do with safety, and they're very complex systems. So the solution, what we refer to as either a global air traffic management system or a global air navigation system, less seams, more greater interoperability, more direct routings, more flexible routings. So I'll just speak for a minute on how we're working to get there, the planning structure, and the most important things, meeting the expectations of the user community. So we do have a global system today. You can file a flight plan pretty much anywhere in the world and be provided with a more or less decent service. As passengers, pilots, you don't know that in some areas you're 15 minutes in trail from the airplane ahead as opposed to maybe 5 miles. So, and speeds are being adjusted. But over the oceans, for the most part, the routes are fairly direct. But we do have a long way to go. So a seamless system is one that's based on, first of all, safety. We need the same level of safety in every ICAO region. We don't have that right now. Certainly the physical connectedness, which I just showed you, we're working with every region. They've identified what we call homogeneous areas, major traffic flows. So we're trying to implement ATM improvements over these vast areas. Common requirements, standards, and procedures, very important to have a flexible and more efficient airspace. And that's what ICAO does. That's what we do. That's what our standards are about. That's what our procedures are about, using the same phraseologies. Same equipment on board aircraft. The airlines need that. And of course, we have to meet environmental objectives. Wider planning perspective. Some of the greatest improvements we've had were when we've planned route systems across 3 and 4 regions. And you have that now all across Asia, the Middle East, and right into Europe now. We have a great system. We call it eMARSH, more or less direct routings. Reduce vertical separation minima. We planned it globally. And those are where the greatest reductions in fuel consumption have come from. We need a common vision. And performance measurement is everything today. So where does that fit with NextGen and CESAR? First, let me how's that? Global Air Navigation System. So at the highest level, we had a panel get together for, the panel still exists. They've been around for about 12 years now. It's an air traffic management concept panel. And we developed a concept that everyone's working around. And it's not a big document, but it has all of the great things of what the system should do. And it's essentially allowing every aircraft to fly as close to its 4D trajectory as is possible. And that's our goal in everything that we do. And the vision statement is clear, to achieve an interoperable system for all users during all phases of flight, meet agreed safety levels, economically optimum, and certainly environmentally sustainable. Along with the concept, we have a booklet of ATM requirements, and it goes into everything that the system should do. And it's very interesting that these people were very aware back in the year 2000 when they first did this, and the environment was a big issue for them back then. And these were mainly air traffic management managers. They were fairly high up, but very technically oriented. And they recognized the environment as being important in all aspects of design and development of the system, in the planning of the system, collaborative decision making to make sure that we balance the needs to mitigate the effects of the ATM system on the environment and the economic benefit. And there were even more requirements than this. The concept and the global plan, NextGen and CESAR, are on all of the ICAO panels. We have 12 panels and 25 study groups that do all of this air navigation work. Very much rallying around the concept and the global plan, both NextGen and CESAR. And CESAR has actually tracked all of their operational improvements to the ICAO global plan. The global plan is the way that we implement the concept. The global plan contains what we call strategic operational improvements. And if we could implement all of these things on the screen, we would make very, very good improvements globally and regionally in air traffic management. And we are working toward that. So the global plan implements the concept. It's a transition roadmap. It drives regional planning. We have 9 regional planning groups in 7 ICAO regions, and they probably meet 10, 12 times a year in subgroups, CNS, ATM, AIM, meteorology, aerodromes, constantly planning improvements, checking on progress. And just as an example, one we have about 45 of these programs in our business plan that we're about to get approved by the Assembly. And just one of the programs that relates to air traffic management is reduction in aircraft separation minima. Now, this is just one part of that page, but for instance, the 3 or 4 ICAO panels are working on reducing separation in oceanic airspace to 5 minutes, using multi-lateration and ADS-B to reduce separation to 3 miles in all airspace. And then what happens is at the regional level, they establish projects to implement the global plan initiatives, but we have to make sure that we've done the standards and the safety assessments at the global level. And this is one example. The regions have these performance framework forms, in this case to optimize the upper ATS route structure in one particular region, and they have a whole series of tasks that they have to go through. And every region has about 15 to 20 of these programs now. I can tell you in the last 10 years, just about every ICAO region has optimized the upper airspace route structure, or they're about to. We've had great progress in Europe, the Middle East, the U.S., all of the Caribbean and South America are on the verge of a whole new upper airspace route structure. So that's the planning process, and it's going along very well. Just a couple of the technologies, and then I'll be finishing up. We all know how great RVSM was. Unfortunately, we didn't we weren't thinking environmentally. A lot of our pressure is just to reduce fuel consumption from the airlines, and everything we do is toward that. So fortunately, we're all working toward the same ends and the same means, but we have to make sure that we take some credit for it so that we understand if we're meeting your targets that you set for us. We all know that there were great fuel savings. It was planned over a wide area. Performance-based navigation, the next big thing. It allows us, instead of flying over ground-based aids, we can fly anywhere we want so we can develop the most efficient route structures. And just, we had these figures from the U.S. that I just grabbed. The route system, what we call RMP-10 in the Western Atlantic, was implemented a few years ago. Huge fuel savings for the airlines and consequent emissions reductions. Data link. We're starting to see more and more implementation of data link. I think you're going to hear a lot of that today from some of the air navigation service providers. It allows greater communication, increased capacity, and more flexibility. Some of the things that you need data link for are user-preferred routes. Controlled descent operations are much more efficient in a busy environment when data link is available, and reductions in horizontal separations because of greater communication availability. Some of the examples in the Pacific region from user-preferred routes where the aircraft makes a request for a more flexible route based on the winds that he's experienced at a particular time on data link, and then the new clearance gets data link back to the airplane and flies on the more efficient route. ADS-B, this is huge right now, another great technology. It's been implemented in Canada, in Hudson Bay, the U.S., and in the Gulf of Mexico. In a few years, it's just going to be everywhere. Mexico soon, Australia, we heard yesterday, I'm sure we'll hear about it again today, another huge success story with ADS-B. You don't need radar. The airplane transmits its position to other aircraft and to the ground, and it's much more efficient than radar. Here's just one example. Gulf of Mexico, when there's no surveillance, you use about 10 to 15, sometimes 20 minutes between airplanes, and climbing and descending is extremely hard. With ADS-B now, they're using 5-mile separations, so they're using radar separations, and again, more efficient. In all of these instances, the airplane is flying much closer to its preferred 4D trajectory. That is our objective in all cases. You've heard so much from United Parcel Service in Louisville. This is really a groundbreaking experiment, I would say, and it's fortunate that you have this one large cargo carrier, the homogeneity there, that you can do something like this. This is with ADS-B. The pilots are able to see each other, merge themselves over a fix, and then continuous descent operation where the pilots are actually performing the separation. This is really out there from the perspective of air traffic management. So that's the sort of strategic way we're addressing all this. And we have 100 manuals and standards and guidance material. Now, taking advantage of Circular 303, that you're all familiar with, we've been working with CAPE on rewriting the air traffic management chapter in that, and we're going to add a bunch of tactical things that we wouldn't normally put in another document. And we are already pushing that through the regional planning groups to the states to educate controllers to really, really always be conscious of the little things you can do at any moment. Cumulatively, globally, you can really make a big difference in fuel burn, and that's just the way that you work. Instead of just doing everything routinely, think about the extra things you can do to improve any particular flight. So the Circular 303 will contain both of what I just presented and these tactical actions, and then we're going to push those out. The next steps for us are CAPE Working Group 2 is working on the means to assess fuel consumption and the emissions related to that. And we're going to use that. In the meantime, we're working with the regions on rule of thumbs. We need to be able to see if we're meeting your targets in the next 2, 5, 10 years. So it'll be a shaky start at first because we've never done that. But we're waiting for CAPE to finish their work so that we can have a really robust method to do that. So collaboration is the answer for us. Everything has to be looked at together to work toward common objectives and common performance outcome. Thanks.